And a happy Saturday afternoon, a gorgeous Saturday in Chicago. I'm looking out on Michigan Avenue. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm John Hansen. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Yeah, I'm looking out on Michigan Avenue. Still some coats, obviously, with temperatures in the 40s, but a lot less scarves than we've seen recently. A lot of those coats are unzipped, so I hope you're out and about enjoying your Saturday afternoon. A gorgeous one at that. Tomorrow looks like it's going to be even better as well. You might be out running errands, and I know a lot of people pay with credit card, of course, and you swipe in the machine, or some of you might be using microchip now. A lot of you might be using Apple Pay, things along those lines. But paying with a selfie is actually coming soon, and actually here in some places, and it might be something that we all do soon, using biometrics, whether it's your fingerprint or even a selfie, to pay for things. We're going to get to that in just a little bit, but we're going to start with Patty Wetley from DNA Info talking about Western Avenue. I'm sure most Chicagoans, if you own a car and have driven in this city anywhere on the north side, up and down Western Avenue, you've passed over the Belmont Bridge. This is that bypass that avoids a six-corner, or what would be a six-corner intersection in the Belmont area, and it's been there for decades and decades. And Patty Wetley, this thing's coming down fairly soon, and it's a big deal, right?
It's a huge deal for folks who live in that neck of the woods. Yes, not a lot of happy folks with construction set to start next weekend. So yeah, after being delayed for several years, this project is now upon us.
Patty covers the northwest side, the Lincoln Square neighborhoods of Chicago. I should say, Patty, good, gorgeous Saturday afternoon. Are you excited to go gardening at some point soon? Patty does a gardening blog for DNA Info.
I've already gone running. I'm not sure it's quite gardening.
Not yet.
But I am already, yes, dreaming of what I want to plant in a couple of months.
All right, so back to the Western Avenue Bridge. This is starting soon, right? And, I mean, are we talking full closures of Western Avenue? This is probably going in stages. You don't have to break down the whole construction project for us, but this is pretty imminent.
Yeah, people really need to be aware that next weekend, so a week from today, actually a week from yesterday, Friday night, Western completely closed, full closure at Western and Belmont. People are going to be detoured at Irving Park to the north and Diversey to the south. So just be prepared that it's going to be a nightmare, a complete nightmare next weekend. And then one lane of traffic will be open in either direction going forward. But we're looking at probably a year and a half of construction in that area.
And, you know, Patty, we say it's a disaster for traffic, but, I mean, business owners, this is the Wintrust Business Lunch. And, I mean, you've spoken with local business owners who don't know if they're going to survive that year and a half. Like, look, this might end up being a good thing in the long run, but if they're not there, right, then they're not going to benefit.
Right. When I was at a meeting a month or so ago, I did meet a business owner who said he'd already lost like 25% of his business just because of water main work, which a lot of business owners are familiar with, the city tearing up the water mains everywhere, which, again, it needs to be done because those mains are over 100 years old. And as folks up in North Center know, a big gaping sinkhole opened on Montrose several years ago. And, I mean, that knocked a lot of businesses out while that work was going on. And so this guy's like, you know, I haven't recouped any of that money from the water main. I'm probably not going to make it. If a year and a half of traffic, you know, being diverted, or you've got one lane in each direction, there's nowhere for people to stop or to park, that's going to be a killer for a lot of these businesses that either you don't have a lot of pedestrian traffic, so people aren't walking by. It's going to be a challenge.
Well, I think that's kind of the thing, is that as much as we dream, and in some areas of the city, it is very pedestrian friendly and not very car friendly. But let's face it, Western Avenue is still, I mean, I imagine a lot of those businesses get people that just drive by and park and drive home.
Yeah, it's, you know, one of the city's quote unquote highways of kind of these arterial streets. And certainly I know Alderman Pilar has been trying to make it more pedestrian friendly. And that is kind of part of what will happen with this project, is creating more of a streetscape, wider sidewalks and things of that nature. But bottom line, yeah, Western is one of those streets that moves a lot of cars. And you have some businesses like Starbucks, that people are going to stop
right.
at no matter what.
And they're supported by national. Mariano's. Yeah, they're supported by bigger brands that even
right.
if they take a downturn, they're going to survive. But it's these local shops that, I mean.
Mom and pop.
Right.
Yeah.
A bad winter can kill these places, let alone a whole year and a half.
Which we have definitely seen that. A lot of people during the polar vortex said nobody was coming out. I had a bad Christmas, and that can be it for some of these retailers. So I think one thing that we saw, this happened during the Brown Line renovation project, where you had stations closed for maybe 6 months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the businesses around those stations obviously rely on that traffic. You know, you'll have your chambers of commerce will try and step up as much as they can to promote these businesses, whether it, you know, that with the CTA, there were rail and bus campaigns reminding people that these businesses existed.
Right.
Whether they try and hold events, do promotions. But you know, when I spoke to the alderman at the meeting that CDOT had to kind of walk people through this project, they said that, you know, no lying, there's no way around it. This is going to be painful. And this is a project that it's kind of a once in a century kind of project.
Right.
It needs to be done. There's no way around it.
And, you know, it's one of those things where it's easy to say, well, why doesn't the city dip into some TIF money or build, you know, help for businesses, financial help for businesses into the plan? But I don't think anyone's going to support it. I don't think there's enough money to do anything like that.
Yeah, that's challenging. You know, we come across this a lot in our reporting where there's Kickstarter campaigns or GoFundMe campaigns for businesses that are struggling. And while there's a lot of sympathy out there, it's also kind of like that's kind of part and parcel of doing business. And businesses succeed and businesses fail all the time. And what's government's role in propping them up? But, you know, the one guy who I talked to said, I'd love to be reimbursed. I would love.
Right.
For that, but I really, you know, do I see that happening?
Right.
No. So it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, part of the project, there will be two lanes of traffic open at some point. Eventually, this is going to be three lanes of traffic. It'll be interesting to hear. I'm going to be talking with some folks at the chamber. You know, what are their plans
mm-hmm.
and just how bad this gets. You still, the one of the issues is you still have Lane Tech there.
Right, that's right, Addison.
4,500 students yeah. and teachers who they can't detour. That's
right.
Where they're going to be. So a lot of the places around there are, they exist because the school is there, a lot of lunch spots, you know, a lot of quick to go places.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so
Patty,
they're going to still have those folks.
Absolutely. Patty, before I let you go, and then we got to get going here, but just really quickly, general sense, you know, overall, are people, are businesses happy in the long run that this will be better for them, or is the jury still out on that?
I think the jury is still out. Both, yeah, businesses are kind of like, we're not sure that this new configuration is going to be any improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, people are kind of very much taking a wait and see approach.
And we'll have to wait and see just how bad traffic is. But of course, here at WGN, you'll just listen. Top and bottom every hour, we'll let you know how bad the traffic is on Western Avenue. Patty Whitley from dnainfo.com/Chicago. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, John.
Yeah, good to talk to you as always. All right, we're going to be talking about pain with selfies coming up after a quick break here on 720 WGN. Nice song choice here, Griffin. This is a perfect way to ease in here on this gorgeous Saturday afternoon in the Chicagoland area. You're listening to the Wind Trust Business Lunch. All right, now I've teased this enough, talking about paying for things with selfies. Yes, pulling out your phone, taking a picture of yourself, and that acts as a good transaction. I'm talking with Lauren Zumba, who covers business for the Chicago Tribune. But Lauren, you know, I've teased this enough. We're not talking, though, about a bunch of people in line at Walgreens all trying to get their best selfie to pay for something. This is primarily now, at least for now, we're talking about things for online purchases, correct?
That's right. MasterCard is starting with online. They said it's because that's where you do see issues with online fraud and, you know, shopping in the store. Merchants have a way to verify that, you know, you are who you say you are with the signatures. So, yeah, starting with the online payments.
Lauren, is this a matter of, so, you know, if I'm buying something on my phone, I'm buying it online, do I still have to enter all the information, or is this like a bypass of that? Or is this in addition to entering all that information and it just verifies that it's me who's purchasing it?
It's more what you're talking about second there. So it's for retailers who want to make sure that the person, you know, when you give them your credit card, you know, that it's actually you who's making the purchase. So the way it works is, you know, instead of having to type in a password, you know, instead it would just pop up with a window.
And passwords are hard to remember. I mean, like, there's so many of them these days.
There's a lot to remember. You know, even though screens are bigger now, it's, you know, still kind of a pain to type it in. So MasterCard is saying that this is sort of an easier way.
So my first thought immediately goes to, well, what happens if someone gets a picture of me somehow and they have my information and, you know, they've cracked into my phone? I don't know how all this works, as you can probably tell, Lauren. But is there a safeguard against that? Someone simply taking a selfie of a photo that looks like you?
So I asked MasterCard about that, too. And they said that, you know, first of all, it's a little more complicated than just, you know, taking a selfie and uploading it. So they say there are some security measures in there. You know, it's looking at things like the depth of your facial features and that would basically that it would be very hard
right.
to, you know, give it a photo and fake it. You know, same with the fingerprint scans. It's a lot harder to fake someone's fingerprint or fake their face than it would be to, you know, guess a password.
Right.
It's something like 123456.
Right, which I'm not going to say is my password, but it's not too far off from
right.
that. So, because like we said, there's so many passwords, and I know we're supposed to have different ones for each thing. I know we're not supposed to use birth dates or addresses, but we all end up doing that.
It's so much easier.
Yeah, and I just end up rotating through a bunch of them. I'm really giving up too much information here on the air on 720. We're talking about selfies to pay for things. Lauren, I, you know, this is, you mentioned the fingerprint thing. People might be really put off, I think, for a moment about the selfies, but like you said, you know, using biometrics, things that are part of our bodies, this is nothing new. This is stuff that people have been looking at for years.
Right. And if you use Apple Pay, Samsung Pay, something like that, you might have already used a fingerprint to verify your identity and make a purchase online.
Interesting. In the last paragraph of your story here, this is what freaked me out the most, Lauren. You said that the payments are more secure, but some research says that a report, it comes with concerns of its own because fingerprint and facial recognition can't be changed like a password or PIN if it's stolen. So if someone was able to crack the code of the selfies or the fingerprints, that would pose, I mean, you know, it's less likely that that would happen. But if it were to happen, it's so much harder to change. I mean, you can't just change your fingerprint.
Right. That is one concern. Whenever people are talking about this, it gets brought up. You know, you might not like changing your password, but it's a whole lot easier to do, which makes, you know, the data security and how all that's handled really important.
Zooming out a little bit, is this part of I know security is at the forefront here, and, you know, how many stories have been done about, you know, Targets or other retailers that have had information stolen, or as long as online's been around, people have been worried about things being stolen from them. Is there also something about ease, too? I mean, they must be looking at this, you know, I just log onto my phone. I don't have to enter a password anymore. I just put my fingerprint on it, and it brings me to my homepage. There's a component of that, too, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's what MasterCard is saying that they think that customers are going to be really interested in, is that, you know, it's, you know, just holding the phone up to your face, you know, we're already doing it all the time anyway, is a whole lot easier than typing in the passwords. And so they've been doing some pilots. There was one at a credit union in California. There's another one going on in the Netherlands. And they said that, you know, the people who've been taking part in those have found it to be easier than passwords. And according to MasterCard, you know, they said that it is something that they could see themselves doing every day.
There is something, I don't know, 1984 Orwellian about this. There's something Minority Report. You know, is it far off that we'll start to do fingerprints, you know, at the store or retina scans or whatever it might be? And I imagine there are some concerns that people have that when that technology becomes easier and more finer print, the government getting in that game too. I don't know. Is that just me being a conspiracy or are there people out there that have concerns about that?
You know, I wish I could predict the future. I'm not sure.
Come on, Lauren. Come on.
I'm sure there are people who have concerns about that, too. It's something that's, you know, very new, and there's a lot of people trying to – I mean, you know, there are a lot of people who are seeing a lot of upsides and trying to figure out what it's all going to be. But, kind of still early stages at this point.
Absolutely.
But, you know, that report you mentioned did say that they're expecting to see a big growth. There were 130 million biometrically authenticated transactions in the past, or in 2015, according to this group. But they're saying that could be, you know, 5 billion by 2019, just as more services like the MasterCard program come out and as they get brought to, you know, more countries.
I'm sure there's some people out there that are saying, oh, I wish it was the old-fashioned way where you reached in your wallet, you had some cash, you gave it to someone or wrote a check. I'm the other way. I just can't wait to the day that I can just kind of nod my head and someone will be able, the transaction will read my mind knowing that, yes, I do, in fact, want to buy that. So probably a long way off from that. Laura Zumbach, you can follow her at Twitter, at Lauren, and your last name is Z-U-M. M-B-A-C-H, but that C-H is silent. Lauren, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Then we got some news, and then we got a really interesting story about Kesha. I'm sure we don't talk about pop artists too much here on the Wintrust Business Lunch, but it's a very serious subject, and we're going to break all that down coming up after this quick break. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. I'm John Hansen, filling in for Amy Guth on this gorgeous Saturday afternoon. I cannot wait to get outside and maybe run up and down Michigan Avenue a little bit. Maybe buy something or two. I don't know. I'm feeling a little inspired. We're going to talk about Kesha right now. And a lot of you may not know who she is or may have heard of her. She's a pop star that's been on the scene for probably 5 or 6 years now. And whether or not you like her music, hate her music, that is irrelevant to the conversation. A very serious one, in fact. Kesha last year sued her producer for sexual assault and rape allegations as well. And we're not going to dive too much into that. Obviously, very serious situation. But she's obviously trying to get out of that contract. Seems reasonable to me. We're going to break down why it doesn't look like that's going to happen with Polly Mossen. She covers all things, obviously, business with Bloomberg News. Polly, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And I hope I got those facts straight. I'm kind of a little late arriving to the story. I didn't realize that this was such a big thing until obviously there's been 250,000 fans signing a petition calling for a boycott of Sony Music. And what really threw kind of a wrinkle in it for everybody was last week a ruling by a judge. Why don't you walk us through that ruling?
Absolutely. So a New York judge in a commercial court that focuses purely on contracts of this nature, essentially ruled that Kesha cannot walk away from this deal. But part of the big misconception here is everyone thinks that Kesha is signed to Sony Music. It's not exactly how it works. Kesha works with Sony Music, and Sony releases her albums, but that's not how the contracts work. Kesha is actually signed to Dr. Luke. Luke Gottwald is his formal name, but we can go with Dr. Luke.
Uh-huh.
And that is who she says is her accuser. She says that he sexually assaulted her, mentally abused her, that she went to rehab because of her experiences with him. And he actually holds the termination rights in the contract. So Sony cannot unilaterally decide, we don't want to work with Kesha anymore. We're done with this PR disaster. We want to walk away. And the judge has decided that she cannot walk away. So the only way that Kesha can be freed from this contract is if Dr. Luke, who she says raped her, allows her to leave.
Which just seems just incredible. I don't know how that can, you know, if there's any grounds for a contract removal, you think that would be it. But the judge kind of seemed to say that, you know, those sorts of things can open a precedence that could have ramifications if she had ruled in her favor.
Absolutely. This is a big precedent-setting case, and I think that's really what Sony was concerned about. And, you know, equally what Kesha was concerned about. The judge made the argument that when Kesha signed this contract, which is at the age of 18, she had just moved to Los Angeles, there were lawyers present, and the contract was pretty standard, not incredibly unusual. These three-part contracts, like what she has with, you know, one agency through him and then Sony Music and herself as a third party, they're not that strange. They're complicated, but certainly not unusual for the music industry. So therefore, the judge is saying, you know, if I nullify this contract, every musician going forward in a similar position can come to this court and say, you have a precedent. This has happened before. It should happen again.
Polly, I got to ask, if criminal charges, because there's been no criminal charges against Dr. Luke, correct?
That's correct.
If there had been criminal charges, and again, this is not saying whether the sexual assault happened or not, because statistics show overwhelmingly many sexual assaults and rapes are not reported to police for varying reasons. So this is not, of course, judgment in that sense. But had there been criminal charges or maybe even a conviction, would that have changed the landscape of this case?
Absolutely. I think it would have been a very different situation. You know, if he had been found unilaterally guilty or not guilty, totally changes the makeup here. But that's what the judge actually said repeatedly in her opinion was, I cannot make a judgment purely off of allegations. And she wasn't qualifying Keshino as a liar, as a truth teller either way. She was just saying, in the eyes of the law, these are allegations. You know, I can accuse anybody of anything, and I cannot force a judge to hold up my allegations until a court has moved forward.
And what this is really presenting is Sony with a, I mean, not to put it lightly, but a PR disaster. Obviously, a victim of sexual assault has way bigger concerns than that, of course. But for Sony, they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place with this.
Absolutely. Sony is in a really difficult position. You know, there was actually a protest in New York City at Sony's headquarters on Madison Avenue on Friday. I think when you're in a situation like this, it's really hard to make the general public understand the detailed intricacies of three contracts that were filed in 2006. You're never going to get the public to understand that. You can't blame the public for that. I just barely understand that.
Right.
So, you know, you have to really look at it from how the general public looks at it and how her fans are going to look at it. They're not going to understand the details of these contracts. And Sony has not said anything one way or the other. They've not issued a public statement. But they, I think, are doing, legally speaking, what they can do, which is allow her to work with another producer. However, Kesha's making the argument to Sony that's saying, you can let me work with another producer, but Dr. Luke, who I accuse of assault, is still making money on my albums. So you have a whole other PR disaster happening if she does record another album. No one, you know, it's very possible that no one would buy it because they don't want him to profit.
And yeah, essentially money going into his pocket. Now, just for people that aren't totally aware, unaware, and that includes me, she can't just simply leave and go for someone else. She could then be sued by these companies, Dr. Luke and these companies, for copyright infringement, right?
That's correct. She can't leave to record with somebody else. And interestingly, she also can't produce six albums of blank music, which is what some people have looked into. You know, can she just make six awful albums or six albums, you know, with two songs on them? She is not able to do that because contracts of this nature generally say that your albums have to be of equal caliber. So if her first two albums had about 10 songs, a couple of them went to the top 10, her next six albums are expected to be that way as well.
Is part of the difficulty with this case, obviously, anything with sexual assault, it's a difficult situation to go through, obviously, for the victim, but for these companies, because what can they say? What can Sony say? Sorry, I mean, there's nothing we can do. They're just in a position where they just there's not many options for them, and they've had a bad couple years for PR.
Absolutely. There's really not much they can say. And interestingly, there's not much that their other musicians are saying, because I think that they have fear, you know, will there be retribution with him? Will my record label not want to work with me? Will he not want to write songs for me? So it's more than just a PR mess for Sony. It's now a PR mess for some of their other artists. A lot of people have been wondering why Katy Perry will not say anything.
Mm-hmm.
She really has worked with him a lot. She has a relationship with him. So it's growing to be a larger PR mess, and I'm not sure it'll go away anytime soon. Well, there is another court date in this case.
I imagine that the petitioners and people that are, you know, maybe guiding their anger towards Sony, that at least maybe they feel that certain pressures can be placed on Dr. Luke himself. As I kind of followed his Twitter feed today and kind of read through it. I mean, he's saying that that's not going to happen. He does not want to end this contract. He hasn't felt enough pressure to do that.
Absolutely. He is essentially saying that there is no wrongdoing here and that she can work with another producer and that should be good enough. Increasingly, we should remember that he's filed a defamation suit, so he feels extremely strongly in this case. If he wants to go through the process of a defamation suit in the state of California, where such things are really, really complicated to prove, he wants to fight this. He's not going to let it go that easily. And I do think that there is fear that, you know, if he lets her out of this contract, perhaps there's a lawyer somewhere saying that'll make you look guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Guilty, you know, by association.
Absolutely. Polly, I wish you could talk about this case for a very, very long time. You can follow Polly at Polly, which I wish we could talk about that, too. I don't know if you were the first Polly on Twitter or you people on the inside or whatever it might be. But Polly Moss-Ends from Bloomberg, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Obviously a very complicated issue. Well, this has been kind of an abbreviated Wintrust business lunch. We've got Northwestern basketball coming up in just a little bit. I hope that you all enjoy this gorgeous Saturday afternoon. Obviously listen to Dave and Joey with the call. Maybe put on some headphones, go for a nice long walk, do some shopping, get out there, and tomorrow's going to be similarly just gorgeous. So enjoy it, and do us all a favor. Don't look at the forecast next week. I don't think it's going to please anyone. It looks like we might get a lot of snow here in the Tuesday and Thursday. But for right now, it's gorgeous outside, and enjoy your day. Griffin, thank you so much for your help today. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I'm walking on through here, this abbreviated version of the Wintrust Business Lunch. Okay, Northwestern basketball, the pregame coming up here on 720 WGN.